Today on our show,
we are counting down the TV shows we've been watching of late to keep you informed about what you should and shouldn't watch.
Can't wait. Let's hit it, Polly.
Show me that list again.
Show me that list.
Don't pick that horror. Baby, here's a rom-com. Counting down 1 to 10. This list is ready to begin. Some dick jokes. We've got the audience right in our hands, Polly, you and me.
We gotta be
the luckiest dickheads. You know that we're assholes. As long as we keep on listing, we can take any topic comes our way. Asshole week to week.
Suck my dick.
We got each other. Sharing the soundboard and balls.
Ironically, I can wait for that. Damn. Welcome to episode 468 of the Countdown Podcast. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Paul? Yes. Welcome to the show where we count down stuff in order of awesomeness so you don't have to. Today, TV shows that we've been watching. So different seasons may not be from 2024, maybe from a long time ago, depending what Wayne and I have been choosing to peruse. In my case, it is all stuff from that's current, mostly.
One thing is
a year or so.
Yeah, a couple of things that you've like said, you should check this out, and then I did. You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of thing.
So we're going to go from worst to best as a little bit of a guide, but we haven't got 10, I think, my last check.
I've got
8, I think.
I've got like 7 or 8.
Maybe 9 if I'm being generous, depending on how I decide to roll. But yeah, that's what's going to happen. But of course, you got that opener. Because we are following up the news that anyone who's a regular listener to the show will now know of, even though we dropped the episode on Good Friday, and that the show is coming to a close. This is the beginning, Wayne, I had to think about this, of the start of our farewell tour, the beginning of our farewell tour.
I see.
The beginning of the end.
Yes.
We are John Farnaming it.
God, only the Americans will get that one.
2 weeks.
Yes.
From here, 33 counting this particular episode, I guess. From here, as we move towards the end of the weekly show, as we know it.
Yeah. So not for a while, people. Not for a while. Not until like September, like is that right?
November.
November-y. Okay, so it's quite a ways to go. Yeah. I'm
just plenty of notice, but now is the time. There's going to be a thread going up in the Facebook listening community. Links in the show notes. Get involved if you want to before the end, where you can nominate topics that we've yet to do.
That's right. And remember, it isn't completely away. It's just that the weekly episodes will go away. We'll keep doing reviews and occasional episodes as befits, like, you know, end of the year kind of thing.
Yes.
But so we're not completely gone, but, you know.
Scaled right back.
Exactly.
It's probably the way.
It's a little thing.
Again, like John Farnham, just when you think we're gone.
With the John Farnham, no one's going to get it. All
right. He comes around for another episode.
Jesus Christ.
Surely you Americans and English people don't know John Farnham.
We'll
have artists who say they're going to retire and then yet somehow they're doing another goodbye tour.
I'm trying to think of who would be that way in America. We'll come back to you. We'll come back to you.
All right then, so without any further ado, let's get into the segment which kicks off most every show. It's called The Recount.
Who wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
The recount is our mailroom. Polly, what the hell happened this week?
A couple of weeks back for episode 466, we did the top 10 film score soundtrack tracks. And the vote is in, Wayne.
Yep.
44 votes received. A comfortable, though not commanding victory to 27 votes to 17. Yet, as you're about to hear, most of the written feedback was for you. Smiley Samani made to us and vote for Wayne for his number one.
Yeah, man. Theme from A Summer Place, baby. I can't believe you didn't know that one.
Timothy Williams also said, vote for Wayne with the Simpsons gag as his number one.
Oh, yeah, because there was reference. It's referenced everywhere because it's so famous.
Uh-huh. Mina Harkey said, vote for Wayne for having tracks that stand on their own out of the context of the film, which is a constructive bit of feedback.
Sure.
So well done there.
Sure, thank you.
Adam Cracknell said, Wayne's number 10 immediately put the vote in Paul's favor. And then Johnny Will finished it off. P.S. No Lord of the Rings anywhere is outrageous.
You know. That's all Paul, if you ask me, because this is Paul's episode, everyone. He even won it. But, like, I'm saying, you know, for me to put Apollo 440 as a score, as a gag, that should tell you where my list was going anyway. So, there you are.
Matt Evans said, would vote for Paul, but the Conan theme song was banned at my parents' house after the Barbarian Brothers 1987 Battle Royale. As this pulsated on our dad's Denon hi-fi, my older brother selected the beanbag heavy-duty mace as his weapon of choice. A huge overhead slash ended with a bang. We looked up, the whole light fitting gone and a foot-long hole in the ceiling.
Ooh.
Therefore, I select Wayne for his breakfast at Tiffany's Fine Addiction Selection.
Did you have any battle royales with your brother, Paul? I don't have a brother, so I never had one.
No, I mean, not really, because I was 4 years older and a lot bigger at the time. So
that's exactly the reason to have one, Paul.
David Powell said St. Elmo's and Percy Faith were cracking picks by Wayne, but overall got to give it to Paul by a whisker. And then the final word goes to Ben Burnham, who said, instant win for Paul for Promenadery from The Last Mohicans. A brilliant movie with perhaps even more brilliant score. But then he included The Anvil of Crom from Conan, so double win for Paul. And I must admit to some befuddlement. Firstly, for Wayne not including the James Bond theme at all. And secondly, for his claiming it is called Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Mm-hmm.
That was the name of the theme song from Thunderball, greatest name for a movie ever. But I have never seen the James Bond theme called anything but the James Bond theme. Wayne, you said it was a long story. Enlighten us.
Here's the long story. You can't get away with shit on this show.
Like you can with Paul.
This is a misnomer here that I fucked up on. I had always understood that theme song was called that. In fact, I messed it up. It was only I had to look it up after I saw this comment. I'm like, what? Hang on. And you are right, old man. The James Bond theme song is in fact the James Bond theme song. The reason I didn't put it on there is because I was having a funny week and I thought, too obvious. Let's put in some fucking Lost in Space instead. So... Fuck you and your soundboard, Paul. Stepping all over my class.
What Ben is trying to say is...
Paul's all of your arguments are like my asshole, man.
I think what he's trying to say is fuck Paul, Paul's a cunt.
I don't think so.
I think that's what I'm saying, at least.
Like, you can only speak for yourself. All right, then. So, let's
ben,
get into it.
Ben, call Paul a cunt. Prove me wrong.
All right. Once again, 9 years is what we've just ended to. Okay, I've got 9. I tell a lie, so I'll go first.
Go, cunty.
My number 9, and I have to say, nothing on this list is bad. Nothing. Like, everything I've watched here, of which 2 of them are incomplete, are solid to very, very good.
Okay.
At the top end of my list, some of which we've at least you might have mentioned on the show before as well. Sure, so checking out the things you've told me to check out. My number 9 is Masters of the Air.
Oh, how's it that? How's that?
It's on Apple TV.
Yeah, yeah.
I've only gotten through 2.5 episodes. It's well made, but it's very slow.
Okay, now tell me what it's about. I imagine it's World War II pilots and Elvis.
World War II. It's kind of, apparently it's from the writer or producers of, but not Tom Hanks, I don't think, and Steven Spielberg,
Band of Brothers
and The Pacific. But to my mind, it's nowhere near as good as those two shows, although the aerial sequences are well-filmed, good CGI, good effects, all the rest of that. It's just, I'm not really warming to any of the characters. They are very interchangeable.
Is it WW2 pilots?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, in Big Bombers.
Big Bombers, yeah. Okay.
And so, you know, they get to fly up there and they get shot at by the Germans and whatever else. And
we know Elvis is in it, but who else is in it? Anyone?
Yeah, Barry Keoghan from Saltburn.
Yeah.
He's
the Joker, yeah.
He's in it as well. And then the other lead character is not a guy I've seen anything, though apparently he has been in stuff. So.
Okay.
And they all look very similar, I have to say. I'm glad to say that, talk about my own people.
Yes, white people.
Especially got the helmets and whatever else on. So I'm spending a lot of time going, who's that guy again? Is that the guy narrating it or is it not the guy? Oh, fucking hell, it's hard to follow.
Do you know what someone was telling me? I was listening to a podcast. They were saying that with Apple TV, like the platform, right? Mm-hmm. That is where any good show could go to die. Because if it's on Apple TV, no one's ever fucking heard of it. Or no one watches it.
Yeah, and they also have this whole one episode a week thing. So you can't binge it and get in a roll with it, which in this today's day and age seems like a very archaic way of doing things for non-network television. So
I mean, I see how it works, but yeah, I know. It's a funny thing because The Morning Show was on Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that's an absolutely brilliant show. I've just never gotten to it. Because
on Apple TV.
Yeah, I'm not rich like you. I don't have Apple TV.
So I've got it. I pay for that whole package, that Apple Plus, whatever it is.
Yeah, you're rich. I'm just saying.
I'm not rich. I'm not rich.
I mean, I could steal it, but
I don't choose
that.
To be a perpetual bachelor, so I have to share expenses with someone.
I understand.
Yeah. just saying.
Just saying. Now, look. Is that you know,
that's
me.
I'm 9.
All right. Well, I just wanted to stick this in here, okay? Because I have mentioned this once before on the show, but I did a rewatch on it, right?
And you do need to ask for permission before you do that.
Okay. Well,
stick it in.
Please suck my cock. Yeah. So, now, Paul, when you went away recently, we mm-hmm. did discuss before you left. I said, hey, maybe if you're on a plane and you got time because you're flying somewhere, you might want to watch Reacher.
I did.
Did you watch Reacher season 1?
It's on my list.
1 or 2 or both?
1. I only watched 1. Season 1 so far.
Good. Because I'm about to tell you, no spoilers. About season 2.
Yeah, okay.
It's shit.
Oh.
Okay? I looked at it again and I'm like, you know what? None of the stuff that like was good about the first... Well, some of the stuff. This season 2...
About to be on a plane again.
Look, if you want to, stunt, what, like hate bother? Watch it. Ugh. This is what I think.
I haven't got time to hate watch anything.
It's just, it's not all bad. It's mostly bad. Is what I would say. Mm. This whole second season, right? Basically, the best thing about it is that the Terminator, Robert Patrick, is in it, and they make a Terminator jab at him on the first episode.
That's the best of 8 episodes.
That's in the first episode. So you might want to catch the first episode, right? But like, first of all, he's huge now. He's bigger than he is in the first one, if you can imagine such a thing, right?
I would struggle.
So much so that he actually moves a bit slower, okay? That's how big. What happens when you get too big is you can't move as fast, right? No, fine. Okay, that's good. That's fine, okay? He is shooting too many people as opposed to beating them up. You want to see Reacher beat up motherfuckers. He's shooting too many of them, okay? Also, when bad guys get the drop on him, they don't just fucking dust him.
You're one of your favorite things.
They monologue for fucking no reason whatsoever. There are just weird, ridiculous things that every trope you can think of is in here, and they made a big mistake. They've given him a team of his ex-colonels, is what the book does, right? But I don't care about his team. I just want to see him beat people up and fuck some women, right? That's what I want to see. That's what happens in the first one, right? So I would just tell you that if you do happen upon season two, it ain't good, man. I don't think it's good.
I have Amazon Prime. I can watch it if I want to. So.
I think skip season two, go straight to three when it comes out. I'm just saying. I have hope for season three. But be advised that, I don't know. Look, I was a huge fan of this.
Appreciate the honesty.
So there you go. Just thought I'd tell you that. Please, you had.
My number eight is my return to a TV series that I jumped off on in season two a bunch of years ago, True Detective.
Oh, great. Which one did you watch?
Night Country.
This is the Holly. No, this is the.
This is the Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster one.
And Carly Reese, or Reyes, I think maybe, as the two detectives / police officers that are in it.
Okay.
And it's set in a very small northern Alaskan town, very 30 days of night-esque, where night has descended for however many days. I do say in the opening monologue, which I missed.
Oh, it's like
60 days or whatever. Yeah, 30 days, I guess, of night. And so it's set over that period in the lead up to and around Christmas time, and how a bunch of scientists at this research base suddenly are all dead. They all disappear, and they find all their bodies basically in a mass snowdrift. I can't even call it a grave. They're just all frozen there in kind of thing-esque poses.
Oh, this is the thing? What's going on?
There are some real undertones to the thing, to the 30 Days of Night, and there's some real mysticism / spirit. A little bit like the first season where there's elements of spiritual, not spiritualism in a religious sense, but in a more mythical kind of First Nations American sense.
Yeah.
Running through, and maybe even possibly ghosts and the like, which they kind of allude to at times. And the person who wrote this, her name is Isa Lopez, and she's a showrunner, writer, director. So took over from Nick Pizzolatto, who took shots at this show the whole way through the season on social media.
Did he?
Yeah, just been a real prick about it. I'm sure he made a bunch of money out of it because it's still his creation and name. So I'm not sure why you would poo where you eat. But anyway, that aside, that controversy aside.
He's not doing anything now.
Both the leads are very good.
Yeah.
And overall, what goes on is decent. It's six episodes. Feels a bit longer than that. It's not bad television at all. I would recommend everything from here on up. I probably wouldn't recommend Masters of the Air. But this one I certainly recommend to fans of sort of this type of genre of thing. And worth it. They're all about an hour long on the nose episodes. So 6 hours of your time. If you like mystery shit, like supernatural shit, then watch this show.
Look, I've never actually, for my money, none's ever been as good as season one.
No,
season one was
nowhere
like
near as good as season one.
Good, right? But season two was ridiculously bad.
Which I never watched season three.
Season
my
two
wife
with
did.
Mahershala Ali?
Yeah, that's
I saw a bit of it. It seemed to be okay, but I never continued with it. So then this is the fourth one, yeah?
Yeah. She's been given the reins again for season five, Isa Lopez. So
I heard a story they went. Actually, they had to go shoot on location, like because they just couldn't get the right mood on a sound stage for this thing. So they had to actually go to Alaska. It's interesting that you like this one. Is it referring to the first one at all? I've heard that.
Oh, there's vague references in it, which is what one of the things that Nick Pizzolatto was taking a shot at.
Mm.
But it's not at all like you have to know it. You can watch this as a completely standalone. Don't need to rewatch the first thing again. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Not bad. All right. Well, I had given this show a try because me and Paulie saw it advertised and we made some potentially disparaging comments, but it's called Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah, we thought the trailer was one of the worst things ever. My brother just the other night was saying that he quite enjoyed it.
Yeah. So look, to be fair, I've only seen a few of these episodes. Mm-hmm. Like I've only seen a couple of them. And it is Donald Glover and Maya Erskine is the co-lead. And essentially it is, because I'm expecting Brad and Angelina, right, from the movie, right? What it is that these are two people who are applying for the spy position of, like, you cohabitate.
Right, early in their career type.
Right, early in their career. Like, literally, the opening scenes are, like, their interview with the whatever, the sort of, like, machine that talks to them and stuff like that. And initially, interestingly, Phoebe Waller-Bridge was going to be the female lead.
Okay, yep.
And there's actually been some, like, chatter online. Basically, they were going to co-star, but the two showrunners being, or the writer's guest, being Donald Glover and Phoebe Waller-Bridge, he literally said, look, the truth is, I wish her the best, but I understand her position. Like, if she's like, she comes at it going, I want it to go like this, I want it to go this way, and I don't agree with it, and it's not going to go her way, I would have left too. So all the best to her. You know, basically creative differences.
Right, okay. So it's officially been acknowledged as such, and she's confirmed the same thing?
She hasn't. I haven't seen anything from her, but it was a weird thing for her to be like on board and then off board. What's interesting also about the show is that initially it was like, I don't see these two being remotely like, I don't see any chemistry between them at all, and I don't know why they picked the lead female. Is not traditionally pretty at all, right? Like, and I guess that was a decision. And what's happened as you get through it, it does gel a bit more, so it's actually not bad at all. What's kind of also interesting about it is they had this guerrilla marketing campaign for this show, right? Where they had one of my favorite comedians actually got pulled off stage, saying there's a security risk and all the crowd freaked out and everything. And it's a really weird thing that they did, but I don't see how at all it equates to this film. I don't see how it comes back to the film at all, but whatever. Long story short, it is better as it goes on. I suspect it might be, like, you know, by the end of it, worth a watch. Haven't gotten there yet, and I'm not sure how much priority I'll give it.
Okay, so you're not definitely continuing, hence why it's down here at your number 7.
No, but I haven't written the show off.
All right, my number 7, I just want to kind of circle back around to this. We did do a review on it, and you'd seen the whole thing, and I'd seen halfway through it, The Gentleman.
So I've now
finished it.
Yeah, bring it.
And I just want to acknowledge sort of where I landed on that show as an overall, and my overall is a solid show.
Yeah.
I don't think it's particularly wonderful. I don't think it ever scaled to any really great heights. I don't think it ever blew me away. I think it was very same by the end of the show. It just did the same thing over and over again. And though you do kind of, it does land on a place where, all right, that's a satisfying ending enough. I didn't think it played well enough for keeps, if I can put it that way.
Yeah, I would.
It was very light given how it sort of kicked. And there was always a light tone to it to a degree, but it felt like the menace that was bubbling beneath the surface of the show really only came out in one scene and one scene only. And it never really followed through, and I think it needed to.
This is actually where I had it as well, my list. And I did really, I would say this, I did like it. I did enjoy the time I had with it.
Solid. If you like Guy Ritchie shit, if you like crime.
That's what I like.
Gangster stuff, absolutely. And it's got Ray fucking Winston in it, so you've got to watch it if you like that stuff.
Absolutely. And I would say that this, it does actually feel like a Guy Ritchie thing. Initially it didn't, but then it did. That's what I would say.
I don't know.
It's not as stylized.
Nowhere near stylized, Lock, Stock,
but the tone of it is something like that.
I don't think it was funny enough to be like those first two
films.
That's
true. It's not a funny show. It's sort of a watered down.
Moments, mostly around the brother character.
Yes.
He ends up being such a piece of shit.
Yeah, I hate that brother character.
Yeah. Right? And his redemption is fucking shit too. So
yes, that was
the
one.
I really
issue.
Dropped the ball.
That was the actual issue I had with it. Everything else I found great. I found that lead excellent. Like
Theo James, yeah.
Theo James, I've only seen him in a couple of things, but I'm like, this guy could be the next James Bond, maybe. I don't know. He's really cool.
Apparently not. Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah, I know, right? We'll talk about that. We should do a show about that.
Okay.
I still like the way it was shot. I think about episode 3 was when I decided it was a good show. I was like, no, this is all right.
I saw it all through, was happy to watch it again. So number 7, like I said, that's a very strong list for me today. Made some good choices in TV watching that I've not made when it comes to film.
Did you like the on-screen prompts when characters talk?
That was all right.
I thought that was, I liked shit like that. I really liked
but
shit
like
that.
But it didn't really add much?
Well, it's again, that's more the styling. I will tell you this. I was sitting there going, why do I like that girl so much?
I don't know why. I find her.
Okay.
Meh.
Here's what it is, right? Her makeup and shit looks fucked in this one, right? But she's Kaya Scodelario, who is in the alligator film.
Crawl, yeah.
Right? And like, she's a ranger in that film.
She can also outswim alligators in the natural environment.
Well, if that's not a win, Paul, I don't know why you don't like her. It's ultimately, but yeah, I was like, oh, she's great, but I didn't know she was a Brit. So, I don't know. Maybe I was just impressed at stuff in here. I thought I quite liked it. Sure.
So you had number 6 there?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so my number 6 is an Aussie show on Netflix called Boy Swallows Universe, and it's an adaptation of a novel, I think, from the, I don't know, it's set in the mid-80s. It's where it starts, mid to late 80s, and it kind of runs through a few years eventually by the end of the show. And it's from the perspective of a 10-year-old boy, and his mother is a recovering drug addict, and his stepdad is the guy that helped her beat her drug addiction. He's a good bloke as well. Right. He's Travis Fimmel from what's that big show? Oh, Vikings.
Oh, never saw it. Yeah, gone, yeah.
Which I've also never seen, which seems ridiculous given my interests in that kind of world.
That's true.
They're living in Brisbane or around Brisbane, mm-hmm. and set in that era. So lots of music from the mid to late 80s. It's kind of like we are that age. We were that age at that time. Okay. So it's very much like calling back to that and everything from Bogans to whatever else. And it's how he gets embroiled in this criminal underworld, really, through machinations of what happens around his parents and the like. And I don't want to spoil anything because it does have a couple of surprising steps through the course of
so
this.
So it's a
limited series.
Crime-ish kind of
yeah, it's a sort crime, of drama. Comedy. Comedy's too strong. The comedy is...
Comedic.
Yeah, comedic would be a better way of putting it.
Okay. It's
a criminal crime drama comedic.
Is it similar in tone to like Two Hands or anything like that?
Yeah, it's not dissimilar.
Okay.
But a little bit. I mean, some of the themes are very serious, but yeah. because we're largely seeing it from a 10-year-old perspective,
yeah,
they kind of get watered down a bit.
Oh, that's interesting. And it's set in Bris Vegas.
Yep.
All right. All right.
Brisbane.
Brisbane. Sorry, we call it that.
And the Ghost Places, this show that I didn't expect it to go, and it's got a pretty cool cast as well. So Anthony LaPaglia pops up in the show, and Brian Brown as well.
Oh, yeah. Brian Brown.
It's called Boy Swallows Universe. I recommend it to anyone who sounds at all interested by that type of thing.
Excellent. Okay, well, my next one is a bit of a love-hater, everyone. And Paul, I'm sorry to tell you, it's Barry.
Oh.
All right, let me talk to you about
so
Barry.
So low.
Dude, I almost didn't like the show by the end. And I'll tell you why.
Oh, so you finished it.
I finished all. I binged it, Paul, in 2 days.
Okay, I'm not sure that's the way you meant to watch 4 seasons of Barry, but all right.
It's half hour shows. What are you going to do, right? And I will tell you this for it.
Go outside, get some fresh air.
Please. You know my life, Paul.
No. Jerk off without watching Barry?
I don't understand. All right, so here it is. For anyone who doesn't know, Barry is the show about a war vet coming back from the Afghanistan war.
Afghan or Iraqi? Whatever.
One of those Middle Eastern wars. Yeah. And he's come back. He doesn't know what he wants to do, as is often the case with a vet. And he basically gets kind of manhandled into being a hitman. But at the same time, he decides that he wants to become an actor because that's where he finds his bliss. And that's the movie. Sorry, show. I mean, episode series. Now, here's the deal, Paul. The first 2 seasons were great. Okay? It's fucking great. I'm sitting there going, this is like a funny drama, something, this, that,
would
whatever.
Concur, yep.
It's a comedy. The characters like Noho Hank and all that, they're funny as fuck, all right? I'm very impressed. Then I did decide in those first 2 seasons that I hate the female lead. I just hate her.
Ooh, really? Yeah. Controversial.
Oh, she's such Sally. A fucking entitled wench. Anyway, then season 3, what the fuck? It just went, the tone went through the toilet. Everything's serious. No fucking laughs practically. All kinds of
season 3 of that episode where he's fighting that Kung Fu master and his kid.
It was devolving into this fucking like horrendous like thing. And I'm like, towards the end of season 3 and almost all of season 4, I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? This is no longer a show. This flashback's going back and forth, this, that, whatever. Now Barry's a bad guy, maybe. I don't know. Am I sitting there going, wait, where's the 1 and 2 season shit that I liked? That's what I came for.
I think you might have missed the point here.
No, I haven't missed
the point. Barry was never a good guy.
But the show was an enjoyable comedy.
Sure.
And then it turned to this fucking Fargo shit. I don't know what
Al Pacino in the first 2 Godfather syndrome.
I guess so. Like it just became, and then I was like, there was one sequence which was like Grand Theft Auto. It was shot like Grand Theft Auto where it follows this car down a freeway. And I was like, that's really cool. So you can, I know Barry, what's his name? Bill Hader.
Yeah, he directed a lot. And I think he directed every episode of the 4th season.
Yeah, he actually came to Hollywood wanting to be a director. Yep. And then he ended up being an actor. And you could see why. He's definitely a director. But in the end, I was sitting there going, I'm almost about to turn this off.
Wow.
I'm like so pissed off at it. And then I will say this. At the end, it became something. It's one of those things where they just... And a few shows have done this to varying degrees of difficulty, but there's a bit of a time jump. And it's like, okay. But at the end, it became a bit more satisfying, but only because I had been punched in the dick for like 2 seasons to tell you that it's like, no, now it's not funny anymore. I'm telling you, it's
a great
weird.
Show. There are absolutely weird moments. There, no question. I agree with you there. And it's not a perfect show by any stretch of the imagination, but I liked season 4 and I liked what I was trying to say.
I'm intrigued to ask you, like, so you didn't bump into the tonal shift like a motherfucker at all?
No.
Why? It's not fun anymore. And see, by the end of season three, you're like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Right? It's like, ugh. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It should have been, if it was like season one all the way through, or two, be great. Four seasons, come out. Oh, shit. That was my review.
Very lengthy Barry review. All right, my number five, here's where I had reached season one.
Ah, good. So I'm glad you liked it.
I did enjoy it. Yeah, I thought...
It's not perfect, but
No, and I never expected it to be. And of course, Reacher is never in any real danger, which is... that's the toughest part of the show to buy, as far as I'm concerned, given what's going on in it. Because as you say, the plot will constantly find ways to get him out of your debt. Doesn't matter how big you are, how strong you are, how impressive you are, hand-to-hand fight, or how good a shot you are, you would be dead in this situation in real life.
Yeah.
And that constantly puts him in that, and then you're like, oh, okay.
Well,
other than that, I like the way the story evolved. I like the way it brought all the pieces together, and I was certainly satisfied with the conclusion, even though I kind of wanted him to stay with the sheriff chick.
So did I. Yeah. She's lovely, Roscoe. Mm. Did you find the, like, you know, like the prison in the jail where he beats up like those guys?
I'm a sucker for fucking prison shows. I think I'm so petrified of winding up in prison.
Oh yeah, I would be
Selleck and an innocent man,
bro. I would be the worst prison bitch ever.
Oh god,
like, I mean, forget about
just
it.
Just to beat him, just strut in there and just, you know, beat the living fuck out of everyone who looks in the wrong way.
Well, this is that, but he really he like broke people's arms and shit. Yeah. It was a very violent scene. I was like, that's what Reacher should be. And to be fair, like, there's one scene where he pulls a guy out of the car, right? And he just fucking slams his head in the door, and then he's on the floor and just steps on him. I'm like, yeah, Reacher needs to fuck people up, see, right? And that's why it was like, when season two, and then stop shooting people, beat them up.
And there was moments of amongst the relatively predictable plot, which were a surprise, like that in that scene in prison where they're all coming after him, and only later does he realize, oh, it's because I was wearing X from the other.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And you know, titty bonus, that was nice. So it's like...
joy.
But yeah, no, that's what, again, this third season needs to return to that, because the thing is, he's a smart guy as well, like, the idea is
absolutely,
I know all this shit. Yeah. So yeah, that's cool. It's like an airport novel, but it's a TV show. Literally, it's an airport novel.
Well, I watched it mostly on my journey to Japan and back again, so
there
that fits.
There you go.
All right then, what do you got for your number four?
My number four, I was recommended this film, sorry, TV show by someone. it's called Three Body Problem. Have you seen it?
It's higher on my list.
Oh, okay, good. Because I haven't finished it. I've only seen it one and a half episodes.
I've seen six.
So, okay, good. So maybe you can... how many episodes is it?
It's eight.
So has it started to make sense?
Yeah, all makes perfect sense now.
All right. So where I'm at is I'm sitting there going... Because first of all, everyone, I didn't know anything about it going in. I can tell you now that this is the synopsis of Three Body Problem. It says, what links Sir Isaac Newton, alien solar systems, and a new multi-million-dollar TV show on Netflix? The answer is the three-body problem, a conundrum in astronomy and mathematics that describes why it's often difficult to predict the long-term trajectory of planets, moons, and stars. I have no idea what the fuck that means, everyone. I am not a smart man. I do not know shit about physics, okay? Like, so...
Neither do I, but I understood that sentence.
Okay, well, I was... And I thought, okay, well, that piqued my interest, and I'm looking in here. I'm like, okay, fine. So what I can tell you, though, from what I have seen, is that it's obviously unusual. It is completely... Like, for a sci-fi show, it starts very not sci-fi-ish. Back in 1966, China, over, like, you know, like... just
cultural revolution.
Yeah, revolution. It's like, whoa. And to be honest with you, the reviews are all over the place for this thing. Like, it's... Some people love it, some people hate it, some people always...
I'm landing firmly so far.
Yeah.
It could absolutely fumble the ball, and if anything... I think I would say this. The sixth episode is very slow going in a place I didn't expect it to be very slow.
Is that so?
Because there is a great narrative and plot sort of build up to the first five episodes that culminate in a very big event at the end of episode five. I'm like, ooh.
And the cliffhanger then leaves you hanging?
And then it's like episode six, like, okay. So I think we're re-seeing the pieces for episode seven and eight. I hope.
I hate it when they do that. It's the fucking, what's those episodes called? I can't remember. But there's like an episode where it's cheap to shoot. Obviously, that's not the one, but like, it's in
one
spot.
I mean, there wasn't many special effects in this episode seven and eight, episode six for sure. So I'm interested to see how they stick the landing. This is based on a trilogy of novels from a Chinese writer.
The first of which is
called The Three Body Problem.
Yeah.
No, I'd never heard of them before this. And I think they were published in English in like 2014. So they haven't been around for that long.
Mm.
And I will say that, yeah, this thing makes a move. And it's from Benioff and Weiss, the guys.
That's the reason I actually went with it. It's like, okay, let's see if you don't.
Alexander Wu is the third series creator on the show. So,
So, yes.
I'm really digging it. I really like some of the plot developments that have taken place. Episodes 3, 4, and 5 all contain a moment where I went, whoa.
Really?
Yeah.
I read this article which said that Benioff and Weiss could probably make a case for, we are the guys who create really well. Like, we take something that's unfilmable and film it, and yep, it works great. Can they end it?
Yeah, can they close the deal? Though, if I'm correct, and it was just a trilogy, or is just a trilogy of books, then at least the source material is finished.
Yes, that's true.
So they don't have to sort of go from his notes slash with a little bit of verbal guidance from George R. R. Martin, may he eventually finish writing a fucking book. 13 fucking years, Wayne.
Do you know what? I think they had everything they needed to complete Game of Thrones. It's just that they wanted to get rid of it and they fucked up.
I don't think he's ever going to finish it now.
No, I don't think so either.
I think he saw the backlash at the end of the show. That's how I was going to end it. Fuck.
Yeah, and now he's like scared of it or something. Yeah, like, I understand it.
Not to get too far off the beaten track here.
Yes. Please, keep on.
Yeah.
Your turn.
Three-body problem. Very good sci-fi with some cool thriller. It's a sci-fi thriller.
So far, I'm actually like enjoying the dialogue and how it's filmed and what it is and the fact that it's keeping me involved.
I'm not convinced that there's two characters in it who have not made a case for their inclusion in the show whatsoever to this point. So
at episode 6?
Yeah. Mm. Right at the very end of episode 6, maybe one of them maybe just does, depending on how that sort of plays out. But I'm like, wow, we're spending a lot of time with these two characters who have done fuck all. So they need to redress that and redress it big time by the end of episode 8.
Okay.
So we'll see. So intriguing. It's up in the air. It could end up being just an okay show, or it could end up being a wonderful show. The last two episodes will determine. If I had been talking to you at the end of episode 5, I'd have been raving about this as the best show of the year.
Really?
But episode 6 has dropped it back down to number 2.
I wonder if these guys can bring it back. Like can regain their throne as the kings of TV with the show.
No, who knows? Intended. My number 4, speaking of bringing it back and bringing me around on it, this is a show which I have crapped on as being one of the worst of the year because it does not have an editor. And it just goes on way too long, but it's kind of won me over.
Here we are.
Australian Survivor: Titans versus Rebels.
All right.
It's our family watch show. Daughter, wife, and I all watch every episode together and really get behind it. And this season was full of excellent, I say characters, but people, right? Like obviously, an edit will make them in a certain particular way, but had everything from a First Nations football coach to a psychologist, can I put it that way, or someone who proclaims to be a psychologist who is the least psychologically minded person who should ever represent profession ever, who is so fucking infuriating.
But it's a real person.
Yeah.
Huh.
So
because usually you hate how psychologists are written, but this is a real person.
Oh my God, she will set our profession back 15 years. She's so fucking awful. She's such a tool.
Is she like giving people advice and shit? What's the deal? She's just a tool?
She didn't tell anyone she's a psychologist. She's just completely acting crazy and ridiculous and over the top. And I just live my life this way. And at the end, she gets voted out. Thank God she gets voted out. She's like, walking up. And everyone, I'm a psychologist. And everyone's jaw drops because they're like, how the fuck can this person be a psychologist?
Don't we know that all psychologists are crazy? That's like the thing that everyone knows. I have to say that to my 3 psychologist friends, Paul being the biggest one, just to see their face and the finger. So
and the mouthing of you.
Yes, absolutely.
Anyway, it was really entertaining. Some really great characters, some unsurprising blindsides and the like. And yes, some of the episodes are like an hour 10, or hour 15. I still maintain they're too long and it could be edited better.
Mm.
But funnily enough, the American show has now followed suit. And its episodes are now an hour plus.
Because then you can sell an extra block of commercials.
Rather than 42 minutes, which is what it used to be. Mm. So the Australian one does 3 episodes a week for 8 weeks rather than sort of spacing it out over 16 episodes over 1 week at a time. So, you know, your mileage will vary there.
I see.
But it gives us something to watch most every night as a family. So, yeah, digging that show, Australian Survivor, my number 4.
Very nice. My number 4 is a show that I know...
3?
Oh, sorry, number 3.
Yeah, good.
Is a show that I know many people don't watch, so I'll just quickly whip out. It's Billions. Billions ended, finally. The entire show ended.
Finished? I thought you were really down on the show because they got rid of someone, Damian Lewis, right?
Yes, so they got rid of Damian Lewis in the second last season, right? And he was out completely, and the show turned to shit.
Yep.
Even with Paul Giamatti, it still turned to shit. It was just... I just stopped watching, right? What they've done is they've stuck him back this time. So he's back in this last season.
So somehow they rewrote him back in.
Well, what happened to is the way he... I'll just tell you. I don't care. Yeah. He actually lost in the season, whatever the season before he left.
Three?
Yeah.
The 5 seasons
I want to say 3, yeah, 3. And he actually had to abscond to fucking a non-extradition country with his $4 billion and just go, okay, I can no longer be in America. What he's done since in the is he has actually become something of a power player, as in he gets arms to places that needs it and stuff like that. He's still a billionaire, basically, Paul.
Right.
And so he makes a deal with the US to come back, and he does...
And stop deporting?
Well, they're trying to beat Corey Stoll, who is the replacement billionaire in the show, and they actually do it. And put it simply, it's a Hollywood ending, because he comes back and he kind of is triumphant. And it was still a good series finale in the end. It did lose its way.
He's the bad guy, though, right?
This is the thing about billions. The good guy and bad guy, i.e. the DA and the billionaire, change places throughout the entire show. Sometimes you vote, you bark for him, sometimes you bark for the other guy. And both of them do bad things, and both of them do good things.
Okay.
So that's why it's a good show. So I still love the show. I think it ended well enough given that shitty stutter.
Number 3, yep.
But so, yeah, billions. I dug it.
It's now the
finale. It is done now. It's done.
Yeah, our last Succession is now not coming back to our screens, at least in that format.
Oh, Succession definitely ended when... Was there talk of it coming back?
No, I'm just saying like...
Succession,
finished and planned. Or like Breaking Bad, it's finished and it's done.
Totally. It's done.
Number 3 is a show which unfortunately Netflix has just said, we're not having a second season, which was a shame because I really enjoyed it. The Brother's Son.
What's
that? With Michelle Yeoh.
All right.
It basically follows...
Not familiar, keep going.
In Hong Kong, there is the leader of the triad.
Right.
Is... the crime syndicates over there. Mm-hmm. Someone tries to kill him. His eldest son is a king dick, martial artist, and just kills all the assassins that try to come to kill him.
Wow.
Can't save his dad. He's in a coma, basically. And so he realizes, oh, mom and my little brother are probably in danger as well because they've gone to the States. They split the family up to keep the kids safe.
Okay.
So he flies to California, to LA, where his brother is studying to be a doctor, and mom is played by Michelle Yeoh.
Right.
And so it's these two brothers coming back together.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
And then a whole bunch of, colorful characters that they meet along the way, some of which join with them, some of which try to kill them. And
Brother's Son?
Yeah, the Brother's Son.
And that sounds great.
One of the executive producers on the show is Brad Falchuk, the guy who did like American Horror Story and Glee and stuff like that too. So.
And is it like, hiya?
I mean, no one says hiya. Maybe they do. Maybe they do. But yes, there's a lot of martial arts in the show. There's a little bit of gunplay. There's a lot of sort of comic banter between the brothers, like because the doctor brother, he's got no martial arts skill. He's a complete fish out of water, but he has to sort of navigate this world he's suddenly thrust within. And how much does Michelle Yeoh / how much more is she carrying with her? You find out as the show progresses.
And you saw the whole season?
Yeah. There's eight episodes, I think.
And it's over now, you think?
Well, it is over because Netflix said we're not getting season 2.
Ah.
So it ends in a fine place. It's fine where it ends. But it could have gone further if it wanted to. So I'm a bit disappointed because it was a good show.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. I might give that The Brother's Son.
Yeah, Son, S-U-N.
Oh, S-U-N, because that didn't make sense, Paul. All right, cool. The Brother's Son, not bad. All right, my number 3 is two. I did a late switch and I'm just doing this thing here, so now it's number 2. Number 2 is a show that I had had heard was good along the traps. It's called Interview with the Vampire, Paul.
Oh, really?
Yeah, have you seen it?
No.
All right, so here it is. It isn't... Well, obviously, it's
must
the same.
Be good.
It's
number
the Anne Rice one, right? Yeah. So what it is, it's Grey Worm. Grey Worm, Jacob Anderson, remember that guy
from
Game of Thrones? He's the lead vampire in question. And it starts with this washed-up journalist who receives a package and it's got audio cassettes in it. Turns out they are the old interviews he did with this, the Jacob Anderson dad. And Jacob Anderson is playing Louis Dupont du Lac, but so he's not Lestat. He's not Lestat.
They've changed that then?
Yes. What it does is basically he then gets back in touch and they start doing another interview, but it's a flashback mostly to the early turn of the century or whatever in Paris or whatever, where that's where he meets Lestat.
Okay. Right?
And it's sort of the story of how he becomes a vampire.
Well, isn't that the way that Brad Pitt's not Lestat in the...
It's very much the same. Well, it's similar in that regard. But the Jacob Anderson is like a pimp in the French Quarter in fucking that era, and like that's how they come across each other. But what's really interesting about it is that in the present day, it's set in the middle of the pandemic, so they're talking about like this thing is people are coming around and wearing masks and stuff like that. So it's a little bit of a thing, but I think what it is that the performances are really, really great and it's shot beautifully. It's really, really a nice looking show.
Okay.
So I have, again, only seen about 3 episodes of it, but I'm in. Like, I'm like, I'm going to finish it up. It's actually pretty good. It's a drama. Okay.
Okay.
Titty bonuses everywhere, in case you're wondering. Unfortunately, cock bonus is here and there too, but and ass bonus. So it's a little like it's very much it's just like because the whole thing about the novel was like it was like sexual.
That was very sexual. Very. You know? I mean, Anne Rice put vampire fiction back 30 years.
Back, you reckon?
Yeah.
By just making it a porno. Yeah, basically.
Well, no, that was no more horror and you know, horrendous people being torn asunder
don't
by vampires.
I prefer the sexy vampire as opposed to the monster vampire.
Days at night.
Oh man, I want the sexy vampire. But anyway,
well, unless it's Celine from Underworld.
Oh, Underworld, your favorite, of course. Yes, yes. Or Darla.
Then I prefer her.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. But yeah, Interview with the Vampire. I do recommend it, but only if you like the drama-y type shit. Okay. Not really the action.
My number two. Here's where I had three body problem. So it was at one stage. Yeah, it was definitely going to be my number one most recommended show. It's fallen back a little bit. We'll see where it lands ultimately.
I'll keep going with that one just because
you
said
that. Yeah, absolutely should.
So. Cool. My number. Do we bother
one.
With? Yeah, one. I'm just gonna say one.
Yeah, we're not comparing lists this week. So
okay. All right. So I finished up the rest of Invincible.
Oh, is it finished? Finished now?
Well, it's up to seven.
Okay, so it's not finished. One more to go.
Is there one more to go?
I'm pretty sure it's 8 episodes in this season.
All right. Have you covered?
No, I'm halfway through the first episode back.
Oh, okay. All right, yep. Fine. Look, we
obviously covered the first half of season two.
Yeah, and I had to remember what the hell happened and all that sort of shit.
Which
but
is a big ask for you.
I know.
Just check out our review.
Recap videos on YouTube are the bomb.
Godzilla X Kong.
You know, I think that might be something we offshoot. We'll do like the countdown recap videos. Hey, remember when this shit happened? That shit.
Wayne doesn't.
That's fine. It'll be all you explaining it to me. Anyway, look, it is a great show still, but I will tell you one thing about Invincible that I have always felt about the show. It's so violent that it's kind of difficult to watch for me. Like, it's even though it's a cartoon and this and that, right? It's the shit that happens in it is it's almost like because it's a cartoon and it's that sort of like 2D cartoon like thing, they don't care about how violent they make it. And something that even bothered me about the first season was when, like, the Omni-Man was using his son to just kill all those people on a train. It really bugged me for some reason because just all these innocent people were dying because he was just in there. Like, that's just against them. So I'm like, ugh. But I will tell you that there are some excellent gags in this. For example,
the first half of the fifth episode, which I literally is as much as far as I've gotten 25 minutes in, I'm like, I hope they do better. I feel like the show's starting to slip, so I hope it turns it around.
Well, yeah, I don't know the whole show. But there's a scene that you will like where he's at a comic con and he's talking to one of a guy who does a cartoon. And the conversation they have is very meta. He's talking about how you cut costs in a cartoon. And then the cartoon starts doing it. The actual show starts doing it. And also...
okay, sounds good.
Yeah, shit like that. Reginald Vell Johnson is in it. And he's Principal Winslow. As in, he's almost his character from fucking Family Matters. Just shit like that. So... I'll see what you think about it, but the fact that I continued to look at it and
still
watch it,
don't get me wrong, I'm not like, oh my God, that was so terrible. I was like, oh, really?
Are they going weekly? Is that it? Is it a weekly drop?
Yeah, it's one
okay,
week.
So it's just one left to go. Okay, yeah. Why did they do that? Why did they do that? They split the season like that. It's so weird.
Why they split an 8-episode season? That is ridiculous. Honestly, it is.
I wonder why.
Unless they just want people to sign back up if they're only watching for Invincible.
I think that's what it's about, yeah. So there you go.
Because I had years to get that shit ready too. It's been like 2-3 years between since the first season. So
no, it's on purpose because they did it with Masters of the Universe. It's they just like they drop a bit, then they make it a long wait, then they do another thing. It's just to keep the
cunty
for anyway.
Sure. My number one, Wayne Blue Eye Samurai.
Ah, brilliant, isn't it? Isn't it great?
Good. Very good. Like I'm not the world's biggest anime fan. It's not my
nor am I yet. I thought it was the tits
of animation. Even though I'm much more, I think ironically, open to animation than Wayne is. Mm. I really enjoy.
It's better animation than Invincible, if you ask me.
Oh yeah, way better.
Way
animation.
Better, right?
Looks, but I'm not as much as I like the animation. I like the style. Before I'm there for the storyline, and I really dig the way it evolved and how they revealed the backstory to our protagonist, as well as reveal more and more about the antagonist and then the connection with what you think is going to be the antagonist the first and how their relationship develops. Also,
so well
good.
Written.
And
so
then,
well
you know,
written.
When it all culminates in that final episode with a huge battle and whatever, it was very satisfying, very cathartic. And I left it in a perfect place for season two, which has been confirmed. I'm pleased.
Oh,
to
good.
Say.
That's
so
good.
It's done very, very well.
Did you notice the episode that was like fucking Kill Bill with the way the music was when she was breaking into the fort hold or whatever? And it was the music was just like Kill Bill, and even the action was like Kill Bill. I'm like, look at this. It was really, really cool.
Yeah, it's a really good show, and I strung it out over time through a bit. I'm not deliberately just like, oh, well, I'll watch this bit and I'll watch this late at night before doing this. And then I've got 4 episodes left before I went to Japan recently. Well, what better time to watch this show? And I managed to watch it all on the rest of that trip. And I was like, wow, That show rocks.
It's great. And I should mention, people, not for kids.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
All right, there's a scene where like the bad guy is getting his ass rogered by a woman in a mask with a long nose. He's like, wah, wah. I was like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's a bit fucking nasty.
Wayne's like, making notes.
No! Even I don't want that! Because you don't know what's happening. He's just going, when he's talking to people. And then, like, everyone, she comes up from behind him with his mask. He's like, I didn't tell you to stop. And I'm like, Jesus. So, hey, feudal Japan, baby. Who knows how it went down? You know what I'm saying?
Whatever way you get pegged. As long as it's consensual, it's all fine.
I mean, I'm sure she wouldn't have a good time. Anyway, so, all right, there you are.
Yeah, there we are. That's one way to finish a review for the best thing that's on my list.
Getting pegged.
No honorable mentions, obviously, for this particular episode. No, so let's get straight into it then to wrap up the episode with your feedback on the topic at hand in a segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about
getting pegged.
Talk about
getting pegged.
I made that joke off Mike, and Wayne decided to roll.
Absolutely. So, the recount is where we get pegged.
Pop 10, maybe.
Lube up. Oh, sorry. The Pop 10. Pop 10. I don't
Wayne
know.
Wayne is so happy with this joke.
I'm just like, I'm just fucking
ruining the whole show. 32 episodes to go. Timothy Williams, I think I mentioned him at the top of the show, gets this one as well. X-Men 97. I was 12 years old when this original show came out. Absolutely love it. Weekly viewing as well, which I prefer. There you go. After we just got through saying that this whole weekly thing can eat a dick.
There you go. Some people love it.
Rob Walters, The Three-Body Problem. High concept sci-fi show with a decent idea and interesting characters. They may not all be explored well enough, but it'll be exciting to see where it goes. So obviously Rob hasn't quite finished yet, or if he has, he's anticipating seasons 2 and beyond. Jesse Dixon, Mr. and Mrs. Smith was super fun. A bit weak towards the end. Uh-oh. But overall funny, some sweet action, and great chemistry between Donald Glover and Maya Erskine. And most importantly, it's better than the Brangelina film. Solid 3.5 stars.
Here's the thing. I love the Brangelina film.
Ooh. Them's fighting words, Jesse. Josh Raglan said, watching season 1 of Gangs of London. Gareth Evans, can do fight scenes. Yes, he bloody well can. I still gotta
watch that.
You've got to watch that show.
I saw like one episode and said, this is great, and for some reason I never get back.
If you watch The Gentleman and think that's good, Gangs of London's like 3 times as good.
Boom.
Easily. Boom. Easily. Jonathan Lamb said Shogun, which is on my list of things to get onto.
I've heard all about this.
Throne-esque Japanese period drama with lots of interesting characters and plot turns. Haven't read the book or watched the old adaptation, but this has been my favorite show so far this year, other than X-Men 97. Marky Mark Ellis Reagans from the So Wizard podcast. Wonderful show. Do check him out. 500 episode just passed.
No,
congratulations. Watching Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman series on Netflix. A bit over the top at parts, but some wacky characters anchored by great leads in Theo James and Kea Scodelario.
Beautiful.
Is that how you say it?
Scodelario.
Yeah, that will do. Chris Yeaney, patron to the show, said, binge the first season, caught up on the second of Tokyo Vice on Max. Really shows how certain jobs / life can be complex.
God, I can't believe they got a second season.
I should just check out the book though, lol. I've never heard of it.
Tokyo Vice has got Ansel Elgort and other Japanese people in it. And it's about...
Is he the journalist or something?
Yeah, he's a journalist. And I saw it and I was like, I don't know, something pissed me off about it. And I went, ugh, not this anymore. It was just, I don't know what it was, but they got a second season and lots of people love it. So I probably missed something.
Okay.
So there you go. Yeah.
Michelle Connaboy said, The Gilded Age. I love historical drama and this is a ripper. The decor and costuming are flawless in the cast. Christine Bransky, anyone? Are great fun.
Not that one for them. Go on.
Nice. Tom Norton Craig, the Netflix show Russian Doll, which is basically a time loop story with honestly just the weirdest characters, but it is engaging. 3.5 out of 5 stars.
I see.
Ashton Harris said Breaking Bad for about the 5th time. Even after several viewings, the show still retains its incredible pacing and edge-of-your-seat thrills with great performances all around.
Agreed. I think sometimes pick up an episode of that and go, I remember this one.
Yeah. I would struggle to watch that show again knowing how it all plays out, but completely. Good on you if you really, really dig it. Antoine, another patron, said, in the middle of season 3 of Total Control, quality Aussie political drama with Deborah Mailman and Rachel Griffiths playing their roles so well.
Really?
Never heard of it. And then last word goes to another patron of the show, John Hislander, said, finish season 1 of the Netflix Three-Body Problem. There is also a Chinese series on Prime, apparently, which you can watch if you prefer. Ooh. Really enjoyed it. Significant change to the book, mostly good, hard sci-fi. They nailed the boat scene, one of the what-the-fuck moments I was talking about, Wayne, and even upped the brutality of it from the books. Showrunners Benioff and Weiss from Game of Thrones say season 2 will have its red wedding level moment. That's exciting.
Wow. Mm. Okay, very interesting.
Great moment to leave this episode on. Wayne, how do the good folk get in touch with us or let us know their feedback on the show generally?
Google the Countdown Podcast, find all our socials, follow us like a mofo. The email is thecountdownpodcast @gmail.com and the website is thecountdownpodcast.com.
Follow us on Podbean where we host the show, and of course the Facebook community links in the show notes if you want to get involved there, as well as check out Patreon, all the links and the like are there. But of course, 32 episodes to go, 33 episodes to go, if I'm not wrong. 468, this one?
Sure. What yes, it say? Is. 468. Right,
32 to go after this one. So 32 weeks to get involved in the show, see all the extra content there. And yeah, we're going to put more extra content out in the very short near future. Thank you to all the patrons of the show. That is it. Short, sweet, this episode. Love it.
Quick
lots
hit, people.
To recommend for you to check out. I'm very pleased to say that I've not wasted my time on television so far this year. Unlike films,
yeah, well,
which we'll find out next top 10, last 10 that we do.
Righto.
All right, Wayne, that without any further ado, let's get out of here. My name is Paul.
My name's Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
What the fuck? What
eat my ass! Eat all the asses! Eat my ass! Eat all the asses! Eat my ass! Eat all the asses!
Bitch, please.
Eat my ass! Eat all the asses!
I can't believe you still have
ass! Eat all the asses! Eat my ass! Eat all the asses!
Bitch, please.
Like my asshole, man.
Okay, Paul, we're good. We're good.
All right, thank you to Billy, and we'll catch you next time. See ya.
See ya. Today on our show, I pray to God Paul keeps that in because it's hilarious. But also, today on our show, all right. Today on our show,
we are counting down what we've been watching on television from worst to best to keep you informed.
TV lately, people. My name is Wayne. What up? Let's go, Paulie. Sorry, I fucked it all up.
Let's do it again.
Sorry.